Hi, Mindy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are your kids off this whole week for Thanksgiving or just the whole week? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, really? Does it have to be the whole week?
I remember that those days, yeah.
Are your kids older?
Almost 20 and 22.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. I thought you still had younger kids.
No. They act like it sometimes, but no. That's the secret, that you think that they're still teenagers even when they're in their 20s.
Yeah, I'm starting to catch whiff of that.
Christina can testify to that as well.
Right, well, we'll wait another minute. Let's see where everyone is today. I know it's kind of a weird week because of Thanksgiving. So I always like to say, however many people show up is exactly perfect. If it's fewer of us, we'll have a more intimate, fun time. Yeah, a lot of people are traveling this week and doing their thing. Okay, we'll wait just another half a minute.
I just never realized what stripes do. They don't show up well. They're like astigmatism. It's not a good thing on camera.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I don't pay attention to too much of that, but that all like I've always hear people say, don't wear stripes if you're on camera. Yeah.
No.
Don't wear what if you're on camera?
Stripes.
Stripes, because there's something with the video that makes it like hard to look at, and
Oh, okay.
yeah.
Apologies.
No worries. It's all good. All right, well, let's get started. We'll get grounded. And like I said earlier, I probably have shared this with all of you, but in case I haven't, my very, very first mentor, before I even started coaching, she was a ritualist. Her name is Susan Mary Hellerer. She always used to say, every circle is perfect. And I really have come to believe that, not like in the myth of perfection kind of way, but in like this week, it's busy. If it ends up just the five of us, it's going to be amazing. If more people come in, it's going to be amazing. I trust that exactly who is meant to be here is here, and each person will get exactly what they need. When circles are smaller, y'all get more because we can really just workshop any pieces you want to take a look at, and go deeper. So with that, let's take a moment and really come into the space. I'm going to close my eyes. If it feels right for you to close your eyes, please do. If not, keep them open and go inwards. Give yourself the gift right now of being present to the moment and of being present to your body by following the breath as it moves through your body. And of being present to yourself as practitioners, we hold space for and stand witness to so many others, and it is really sacred when we give ourselves the gift of holding space for and standing witness to ourselves. I'm just starting to notice how you're feeling today. Remembering your body. And maybe even giving thanks for your body. Even with any aches or limitations, what are the ways that you can give thanks for your vessel? Using the breath to connect with your wisdom. And using the breath to remember your heart. And with that, having more compassion for yourself. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present. Hi. I'm so excited for our time together today. For this integration session, this is an opportunity to do a couple of things, really. First, just to connect in and to just be in this space, be inspired and be moved, be motivated. This is an opportunity to kind of check in and see how things have been going since our last retreat by way of imagery and soul work and dream work and working with the cards and kind of pulling out pieces of insight, going deeper with any questions you might have, learning more deeply. And this is also opportunity, if there's anything that you need from me. I'm also going to be sharing another thing that we didn't get to in our last retreat that has to do with soul work and imagery that I'm really excited to share with all of you. And then anything that you need from me. This is related but unrelated, but I wanted to make sure that I mentioned, some of you were on Thursday. I held a Sacred Depths alumni retreat where I taught a new technique. It was really awesome. I'm so excited about it. And I will soon share that technique with the public too. So for those of you that weren't able to be there, you'll get it. It's pretty, it's really good. But anyway, the reason why I'm bringing it up is one of the things that I wanted to mention, it was a somatic technique and having to do with fears and beliefs and all of that. And one of the things I didn't get to mention to everyone on Thursday that I wanted to mention that holds true for really all of the work that we do, and particularly when we go deeper with clients. And so I wanted to share it here in case it resonated for all of you. When I did the demo of the technique on Thursday, one of the things that was pulled out of it was that I was right there with the client. Like we went really deep, but she was also playful and she had some side things going on. And I didn't force her to like, oh, I'm using my like deep somatic voice right now. And I was with her in each moment of it. And that is part of what allowed her to go as deep as she went and get just the amazing benefits of the practice. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about this. So in Jewish tradition, when somebody passes away, their loved ones sit Shiva. Some of you know this. They sit for 7 days and different visitors come to be with the bereaved who are sitting Shiva and offer condolences and just offer community and love and friendship. It's a really beautiful practice. Anyway, some of you might know I went to yeshiva for many years. I know like all the ins and outs of Jewish, even things that like most people don't know. And one of the things that the rabbis, that the elders say is that when you are, so first of all, it's considered a huge good deed, a mitzvah, to make a Shiva call. I promise you, I'm getting around to coaching in a moment. And when you make a Shiva visit to someone who is grieving, when you come in, you wait for the bereaved to speak first. You don't speak first. And the reason why you do this is because they don't say it this way, but I'm going to say because of energetics. So if you go in to offer comfort to someone who is grieving, first you need to see what kind of mood they're in. Are they in the mood to cry and to be held in that way? Are they in the mood to reminisce and, you know, speak about their loved one? Are they in the mood to laugh and feel joyful and have a little bit of a respite from all of the heaviness and feel some lightness and joy? You don't want to come in and set whatever energy you think they need. You want to take their lead on the energy. That's what's going to serve them the most. Does that make sense? I think that this is something that we can apply to all of our client work and our somatic work and all client sessions. Energy follows energy, and we want to lead with our energy in terms of believing what's possible, you know, all the things we talk about energetics. But similar to what happened on Thursday, when I was leading Leah in the demo, we went deep, but she wanted to do it in a really lighthearted way, you know, and I met her there. I didn't try to fight against that and like bring it to some kind of like, you know, heavy and let's really get to the emotive places. That's not what she needed in those moments. So I just want to pause there. I wanted to make sure I shared that. Anything that anybody wants to say about that or add to that or ask about that? Yeah, Deborah, go ahead.
I really appreciate your setting this up and talking about the value of taking the lead on the energy that exists. And I'm aware that one of the things that I do is often want to get, want to guide people somewhere else. And so I would just want to be mindful of how to play with that and that space. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is true. We are also always tracking, right? Because we're always asking a client in the beginning of our work with them for however many months, as well as in the beginning of each session, what is it that you want to receive, right? What are your goals? What is it that you want to receive from the session? So we are tracking to make sure like where we're going is headed in that direction. And if it's not, we either want to bring it back or check in with the client to see if their intentions have changed while still honoring where the client is at and the energy that they're
in. And I think it is that dance. So I often relate things that kind of like a dance, so that there's a place wherever we're starting, where you are, and then they go here and you go there, and then there's some still interaction between it that you're constantly looking at, honoring always. And it feels like there's a both and in that it is, while you said you want to like let the client take the lead on energy, I feel like there's can be places where you're inviting sometimes energy to shift. It's
absolutely okay. And yeah. That invitation, though, the foundation of it is honoring where the client is at.
Yes.
Seeing if,
yes,
right, does it make sense for us to, yeah, shift? Or right, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Mindy.
I feel like this is an add-on or a continuation of what you always say, face the coach the what based on the who. Mm-hmm. I feel like this takes it to, and then coach the how based on the where. I don't know. Sort of, it just feels like it just it's more of that. It's really just, you know, there's no like, is one size does not fit all.
That's right. One size doesn't fit all. And not even for the same client in different moments or from session, yeah, to session.
You know, again, not being attached to outcome, because you don't know where they are until you get there with them. And then it may even change as you're going along. And so I think you're really just observing where someone's, you're following them.
Yes. Absolutely. And then not being attached to outcome. You know, there's lots of ways that we don't want to be attached to outcome. And one of them is like, if we think that depth only looks one way or only carries one kind of serious energy or, you know, whatever it is, then we're going to be attached to that and we won't be coaching the what based on the who. I remember, I may have shared this with all of you. I remember when I first started leading groups and ceremonies and rituals, I had this thing in my head that I never challenged because I just took it as truth, that unless everybody in the room cried during the ceremony, it wasn't good. We didn't accomplish what we needed to accomplish. It wasn't as transformative as it needed to be, you know. And for years I carried this and I did everything I could to make sure that every person cried at least once. And then after doing this for many years, I realized that that was flawed thinking around transformation and value and change. I was way too attached to what transformation needed to look like. Rosa.
Yeah, just really appreciating the conversation. Really appreciating your focus, Joanna, on the subtleties of energy. And really appreciating what you said, Deborah, about acknowledging that sometimes we have a bit of an agenda and just the importance of being aware of it and recognizing it. I know that for me, sometimes I have a you know, a bit of a leaning toward action, and sometimes a little bit of a fix it thing, you know, finding a solution to something. And so just like watching it and being aware of it. And then also what you were bringing up and what Joanna responded to about that sometimes we do, and the word that you used, Joanna, was an invitation. Sometimes we do extend an invitation, right? And I was just thinking about how if we're, oh, and then Mindy, you brought up the word following. So it's like, if we're following somebody, then we're kind of in tune and resonating with them. And at some point we could say, wow, we've done this. Would you be willing to consider doing that? Right. So it kind of sets you up, like the following, I think, sets you up for extending an invitation. So yeah, just really enjoying it. Thank you.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. And you know, I have an agenda oftentimes. I just want to make sure I'm clear. I often have an agenda when I'm working with clients. It's not a bad thing to have an agenda, but what we want is to always be aware. We want to check our own filters and be like, oh, wait, that is my agenda. That might not be the client's agenda, right? So that's number one. We want to check the filter. And then number two, we want to ask internally, do I think this agenda would, now that I'm aware of it, do I think that this agenda would be valuable for the client? Like, is that something based on what I'm hearing from them that would be valuable? And a lot of times the answer, if you're being honest, is going to be no. But sometimes the answer is going to be yes. And if the answer is then yes, then the next step is you make your agenda known and name it as yours to the client, with the client having full agency to say, yes, that feels right to me, or no, that's actually not where I want to go.
Okay. It's so lovely that you've laid out those steps. Yeah. Because what I was thinking beforehand is that, as you know, whatever we're aware of is less troublesome than what we're not aware of, right? So it's like, if we have an agenda, but we don't even realize it, then that's a big problem. And then it's just so lovely making it explicit to the client, naming it as ours and offering them agency. Can I share a tiny little bit that may or may not be useful to you guys, because this comes more from facilitating work-oriented groups. But one of my teachers said something once that I thought was brilliant, right? Like, the facilitator is not supposed to have the solution. But if it's getting in your own way of listening to other people's ideas to the point where, he said, well, sometimes what I do is I just stop and I say, you know, I keep having this thought about this thing, but there must be a really good reason that you guys haven't thought it yet, right? And so then that way, it's like it opens the door for them to say, or half the time they'll just recycle it, and like 5 minutes later, one of them will come up with the idea, and then it's one of theirs, right? But it's like, sometimes it's just helpful to kind of put out what's in our heads, because otherwise it's kind of getting in our own way. But if we do it in a way that it's not like, I don't know, there's just a very graceful way for them to say no or whatever.
Yes, we do it where in a way that it's empowering, where we're not saying this is the right way. And then I think the other important piece is our energetics, like checking ourselves beforehand. Do I need to say this because I need to sound smart, or I feel like this is what's going to fix everything? Or am I feeling really called to share this because I sense it will be really valuable? Yeah.
And in his case, it was even because it's getting in the way of my listening, you know? So it's like, just to kind of get it out of my head so that I can go back to listening. So
Yeah. Good. Okay, good. All right. So what's been resonating for you around soul work, imagery, dreams, cards, some of the drawing that we did in our last retreat? Have you been working it for yourself since our last retreat? How has that been going? What have you been seeing? Have you been bringing it to your client work? What's moving through you around all of it? Tracy.
Hey there. So I'm noticing how many more dreams I'm having. It's interesting. I was thinking about my word, the theme of 2022, which has been illumination, and how so much of it has been not an outward illumination, but what spirit is illuminating in me to see, to sit with, which doesn't always feel good, right? So it's almost like spirit has a funny sense of humor, because the humor is you thought illumination was going to be you illuminating out into the world your work. And I've been sharing with you for a year all the things you need to illuminate for yourself, right?
Darn spirit and psyche.
Which is so funny. So I started really thinking about my word and my theme for 2023. And I had this dream a couple of nights ago that just woke me up to a word. Mm-hmm. So I'm sharing this just to say that the dreams are coming more often. And what I'm noticing is just to allow, versus the past, I would have been like, okay, you know, trying to figure it out. Like, what does this mean for my business or my work? And now it's like, okay, let me just sit with this and be curious. So I feel like I'm a lot more curious and being more present in the being versus all the doing.
I love it. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. And there's a couple pieces that I want to just pull out that I think are so helpful in terms of what you're sharing. So first of all, that you're dreaming more. I don't think it's a coincidence that you're dreaming more. Once we tell our psyches, ourselves, our spirit, like all the ways that you want to look at it, where dreams come from, that we're interested, that we're curious, that we take it seriously, that we do really, as I was sharing in the retreat, like see it as a letter from spirit, a letter from ourselves with valuable material, our psyche spirit dream will be like, oh God, I'm paying attention. I'm gonna show up more. I'm gonna give her more, right? So I noticed that even all these years of me working with my dreams, sometimes on, sometimes off. If I've had an off period, usually within the first dream that I'm like, okay, I want to remember that. I'm working with it. I'm being with it. I'm taking it as a like a sacred gift that was given to me. I start dreaming again and remembering my dreams more. So I love that you're seeing that. Some people will say that we tend to dream more in this time of year as well, because the nights are longer. We're meant to dream more during the late autumn and winter times. So people might notice that as well. And this other piece that you're talking about, Tracy, of that shifting from like, okay, what is spirit trying to tell me so that I can move my business forward and do this and that and the other thing? Like, what are the instructions here that I'm being, which is not a bad thing at all for dreams. But that shift to, oh, this is from my soul and for my soul and being with it. I could feel even as you were sharing, like, just the spaciousness and the expansiveness in that.
Oh my goodness. That expansion and spaciousness really has come through over this last year when I paid more attention and intention and nurtured and nourished my body, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. My mind is a beautiful energy, but it has been running the show on a loop that wasn't serving me. And when I declared, yes, mine, you were a beautiful thing. But when I paid attention to my body and I started moving it more, nurturing it more, nourishing more, giving it rest, having more patience with it, lovingly speaking about it, I feel like I trust the knowing that comes from my dreams more.
Yeah, I love that. And the trust in the knowing that comes for your dreams is also trusting more in yourself. Beautiful. Good. Who else? What's been moving through? What have you been seeing or noticing for yourself, for clients, or what's just kind of like been on your mind since we did the work? Mindy.
One of the things that struck me so much is not getting caught up in what the book says or other people say that these things mean. That my own meaning is valuable and probably more insightful. And to trust that, that's been really big for me. And as far as the cards go, I'm intrigued by them. I'm new to them. But I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to remember all these definitions and what they mean? And I'll never do that. And I don't have the time and it makes me exhausted. I thought, and thinking, well, I don't need to use them that way. I can use them in a different way completely. It's like, oh, that's a really wonderful additional tool. And I haven't had the chance yet to bring it into client work, but I have some ways I think I'd like to, and I think that they might be open to it, and sort of another sort of fun, lighter way of doing things if that's what they're up for. And yeah. I really enjoy that. But particularly just that I can interpret it however I want to.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this forward, not just for you, and yet that it takes so much pressure off of the cards. But what Mindy is talking about is important for us all to remember in our client work, whether we're working with dreams and cards, or even just if a client said, I had a dream about an owl, or, oh my gosh, I have this image of like this incredible light when I think about that. Don't make assumptions about what any of that means for the client, right? Like light could mean the same thing in like 10 books that you read and how we talk about it in culture and what we think and all of that. But take the time to ask the client, what does that mean to you? What does that feel like for you? What are the connections that you're seeing in it? At some point we might add like, oh, I also am wondering if it's this, or right? But let the client lead with that, because what meaning their psyche is making of things isn't necessarily the meaning that your psyche is making of things, or what you know the meaning to be. And you will, I don't know, squash is too dramatic a word, but you'll close off opportunities for deeper awareness and meaning to be made if you bring your ideas into it. Rosa. And then Carlita, I don't know if you're able to talk or if you can just post in the chat. I know you said you're kind of on the road, but if you want to talk more about the next layer, more than happy to do that. Rosa. You there, Rosa?
I'm sorry, I was talking, but I was on mute. this is a place where I feel really, really strongly, I guess from my psychotherapy training, I feel like and not all psychotherapists think this way or whatever, but it just feels wrong. I just have to use that word, which I don't often use for a lot of things, but it feels wrong to assign a meaning to a client's thing. Like it just feels like a boundary violation. And of course it isn't when you do it your very skillful and gentle way of, geez, I wonder if, you know, this might be useful to you or whatever. It's not at all a problem to suggest something, but I have a visceral like dream books and things like this means this. And so it's just like, it's so, yeah, it just feels intrusive and yeah. Yeah. So anyway, just underlining what you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it comes back to one of the foundational pieces of when we honor our clients' wisdom, you know, then we're less prone to do things like that. Good. Who else wants to share what's been moving through you? Anyone
want to
share? Kristen.
Hey, sorry, I'm out walking with my dogs. It's a busy day today, so I've been just listening. But I did some of the drawing, like the stick figure scene drawing with my Healing Hearts group the other day, and found it to be super powerful for them. I'd been doing writing exercises as part of that. But we were working with the Sorrows of the World, and one of the women, there was a school shooting in Seattle that was just a couple people recently, and she knew a father of a child and used to live in that area. And so I could just tell that she just felt completely shattered still about that event, and words just didn't seem like it was the right thing for that moment. So I tried using the image just having them draw what they did, and it was beautiful. And they all came up with, you know, these different drawings about how they felt about the Sorrows of the World in the beginning. And then each one of them in their own way, it was so beautiful. They all added love to the drawing. The second version of the drawing where they, where their soul was telling them what they would like if they, the impulse thing, like if your soul could do anything it wanted to, you know, magical or realistic or whatever, what would you have it do? And each one of them in their own way added love to the field work of their drawing. And it was just, amazing and incredible. And then I had him journal from that perspective towards the end of it. And in my opinion, anyway, it was much more powerful than if I had just stuck with the writing pieces of it. So that was...
Oh, I'm so glad you're sharing. So beautifully done. And I love the progression that you took them through as well. Like first starting with just really being present to what the sorrows of the world and how that feels and how that's moving through you. And then, you know, not getting rid of that. This is another really important transformational and just like human behavior thing. The sorrows aren't going to magically disappear. We have to hold that because that's just that's real life human beings, but we can hold that also with love at the same moment. Right. Mm-hmm. And then supporting them to do that. And then the journaling from there, like the bringing even more words to it. So, so beautifully done. The other thing that I see in what you just shared, Kristen, is, you know, we all know one of our stealth missions, in addition to like the content that we're, you know, the goals that we're helping our clients achieve, is to support them to become more regulated no matter what comes up. Yeah. And then taking the time to draw a picture about how you feel about the sorrows of the world and having that sacred space and the time and the container to do that helps create a more regulated system, even with the presence of the sorrow. Mm-hmm. Just so beautifully done all around.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we have these kind of skills, as you all do now, the possibilities are endless, really, on how we can use them. Carlita.
Hi there.
Hi.
Glad to see you all. I'm literally sitting across from some giraffes at the zoo with my family. I'm glad to connect with y'all today. So I loved doing the dream work, and I noticed, you know, like as y'all might remember, like there was this enoughness stuff that was coming up for me still. And you know, after we did that work with the dreams and like interpreting the dreams for ourselves and finding our own meaning, there was this part of me that was like, yeah, well, that's a really nice answer, Carlita. Like, you're kind of blowing smoke up your ass for all you know. And I was really like, just like, you know, what if there's something deeper that I'm missing? You know, what if there's something else that's going on here? Because, you know, maybe there's another truth. And then I had this exposure to a really interesting Irish guy who does dream work. And, you know, he's done some very powerful work with people based on his notion that, you know, certain elements of dreams have certain meanings. And, you know, if somebody would come to him with a dream, this meaning would emerge from it that, you know, was used to transform people's lives based on this understanding that he's developed, you know, and it's just a different system. And so I think kind of part of what I'm grappling with in a certain respect is lately I'm looking at like, what else am I missing? Like, what is the thing that I'm not getting? If there's something like that I'm not seeing, is there, you know, I want to see my blind spots. Is it possible to find them on my own? Is there something else that I'm not able to see here? And you know, I'm looking at this belief that I do have that, like, well, if you believe it, it's true. You know, it's kind of like, it's like, which perspective am I choosing to inhabit? Am I choosing to inhabit a belief that I have all of the resources available to me at all times? Or am I choosing to, you know, inhabit a belief which makes it true that I don't, you know? So there's that, and I'm just kind of sitting with it because I don't really have answers for myself. But obviously there's this feeling that I don't, you know, that I am missing something. There's an idea that, like, what if, you know, because certain things like haven't worked out in certain ways all along. It's just like, what's the piece I'm missing? Is there something I'm doing that I could be doing differently? Or is it that I'm just living in a mystery of life that it unfolds this certain way for me? You know what I mean? I'm not sure what to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward. It feels really important. And as you've been sharing, one of the questions that keeps on kind of moving through me is, what's the difference between asking, am I missing something from a disempowered place?
Mm-hmm.
Versus an empowered place.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. The disempowered place keeps me always wanting to, like, you know, hand my money over to somebody else, which I think our industry can perpetuate this, is a sense that, like, I have the solution. Nobody else has found out yet. You need me. You need me. You need this. You need this. Like, there's a lot of capacity to feel like somebody else has the great secret answer that nobody else has found yet. And just one more thing on the road will, you know, move the needle in a new way, whatever it might be. And that is not a way I want to be with clients either. And yet there's also the fact that, like, when people start to work with me, you know, things change, you know? So there's this interesting, there is a truth to the interdependence that we have here, that I wouldn't have arrived in the places I have arrived without your help, without the help of so many coaches and other people that I've hired to work with me, without authors I've read. And yet, walking around feeling like, what's the empowered perspective on that? You know, there's this part of me that's like looking for some ultimate truth, as if it could be pinned down, you know?
Yeah. So let's pause on that. So part of the disempowered, what am I missing, includes beliefs like, there's one truth to pin down and I haven't like gotten it yet. And my whole life is going to be saved. I will be saved when I get that one truth and pin it down. Right. So that's like part of the disempowered. What am I missing? Give us one or two other beliefs that are constellating around the disempowered version of what am I missing?
There's one truth and we can know it. Somebody else has it.
Someone else has it.
There's also the belief that like, because life hasn't unfolded according to what I might have expected or designed, or certain things are not unfolding a certain way, it must mean that something is missing.
I've done something wrong, and the reason and it's because something is missing, right?
Yeah
Pretty good. And
that's then, a big one that I struggle with as a coach in the coaching industry, as a coach, you know.
Yeah,
all this stuff.
And I imagine like this whole constellation of disempowered beliefs around am I missing something have come with like a certain feeling in your body. I know you're like out about at the zoo, but maybe you can sense in for a moment, right? Like, because that's a good clue to know when you're in the disempowered place around it, right? The thoughts that come with it. And then like, how does that feel in your body? Oh, sorry about that.
It's a familiar, like it's often like when people ask me that question, it's just like caving in feeling. It's like concavity in my heart and solar plexus area.
Yes.
It's like, oh God.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, because you came with this thing of like, but I don't want to, you know, the way I heard the question was like, but I don't want to not ask the question of what am I missing in case I am missing something, right? Which I think is valid. So can we agree that when you're asking it from that caved in feeling with all of these other constellation of beliefs, that's, it's not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Take a moment. And even if you don't know yet, see if you can in your setting, ask the question again, what am I missing? And you can even close your eyes, but ask it from an empowered place and notice how it feels. Ask, what am I missing? With all, knowing that you have power and resource, Carlita, how does that feel?
It feels like not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's just kind of this casual, like, okay, what's next? Like, what's the next step or something like that? And there's also the trust that the answers, you know, coming, that I can trust the power of the question and its embedded intention to guide me there. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. What other beliefs? So I'm hearing one of the beliefs when you're asking, what am I missing from an empowered place, is I can ask this question and I trust the answer is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be so dire. It's not like a life or death situation. Like I can ask it carefully.
Mm-hmm. And I also hear that the answer might be you're not missing anything, but that's all actually a possibility. That is actually a possibility.
One of the possible answers.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. So,
and I also, you know, what's funny too is that like I hear, when I hear myself asking this question, that like whenever we've talked about this like in curriculum lab and, you know, also just in marketing stuff, like what's the clear and discernible difference in what you're teaching from other people, you know, thought leadership kind of stuff, is that like there's this sense also of that's part of like what I actually stand in that's different, you know. Like there's actually like a lot about like who I am as a love coach and as a coach in general that is not at all about outsourcing your happiness to having a partner or your validation to that piece, you know. Like it's kind of paradoxical, but like the way there is to like turn away from that external achievement, so to speak, you know.
Yes.
Which is like exactly the journey I'm always on around that, you know. It's just like it's funny that like I've made so much peace in it with like not having a partner on a personal level, but as a love coach I'm always like like, aren't you a fraud? Like,
no, but that's exactly like what you're talking about, is it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So a couple of things. So first of all, when you're like, I worked with that dream and I might have missed something, and what's missing, like, ask the question, what am I missing? But don't ask it from somebody else is going to have the, I'm going to find it from someone else because they're going to have the answer that's going to save me. And right. But instead ask it from this other, somebody else, like, casually. And like, I trust that if I need another answer, it's coming. There might not be. And if I end up asking someone what their meaning is, it's from this place where I trust me, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Yeah. And then I would, like, when you have some time and space, don't forget this conversation just because you're out and about, go and I would write from this energy of the empowered. What am I missing? Pave that energy in those neural pathways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is powerful. This feels like this is so essential to the very thing I'm teaching and living into and speaking from and, you know, standing for. This is so beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. I'll go back and listen to the recording and really dive deeper into this as well.
Okay. Great. Good.
So good. Thank you.
So glad you brought it forward. You're welcome. Anyone want to, you don't have to, but since we just did some coaching, anyone just want to pull on what you observed in the coaching that Carlita and I just did? Anything that stood out to you? Rosa.
I just love the question about what do you feel when you're feeling that from a disempowered place, and then what do you feel when you're feeling that from an empowered place, right? So the two contrasting questions. I definitely relate, because I love taking courses, and sometimes it feels like I come from I just want to take another course because I'm missing something. And then other times it's like, as Carlita said, it's more an answer to the question, what is my right next step? And it's a very different energy. So thank you. I got a lot of value from the coaching as well.
Good. I'm so glad. Good. Mindy.
I love that you let her answer her own questions. From the very start, I was listening to her, and what popped into my head is she kept saying, what am I missing? What am I missing? Because I think that way all the time too. What popped into my head is, well, what if you're not missing anything? What would happen then? And I was dying to like say something. I like wanted to see where you went, but she came around. I mean, Carlita, you came around and came up with that question and answered it yourself. And I love that you kept following her. And I could see you circle back, and I think you probably thought that too, but you're going to let her come to that conclusion on her own. But you kept you sort of supported her in coming back to it. So I guess that is kind of an agenda where, you know, you're trying to get her to come back and see those connections on her own. And maybe if she didn't, you might have pointed them out in some way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that, right. So there was a little bit of that. And also I think there's even more richness that came from it, because sometimes that is a valid question. I might be missing something and I can get support. Right. So she got all of that. But you're saying agenda, and this is it exactly. If I would have gone in with the agenda or with the wisdom of, Carlita's not missing anything, I don't want her to think that she's missing anything, so we're going to just like put that question aside, none of the beauty and richness would have come out. And also she would have been in deep resistance to, to that idea. So yeah, like the leaning in, it's similar to how I opened with the like, follow the energy and meet the client where they're at, like lean in to it. Good. Tracy.
So this is just such a beautiful dance that I feel like you and Carlita have been on. And what is coming through for me is the beauty and wisdom in the pause, the asking the question, and then the pause. Where really it's like you're opening space for Carlita to feel into the question, and then from that place, noticing what comes up, instead of as a coach, you know, wanting to serve, and just like, just fast forward, just move on that journey, right? It's like, no, there's a beauty and a wisdom in the dance of the pause.
So yes, absolutely. That giving, asking a question and letting it land and giving it space. For some of you that have been with in Sacred Depths, I may have done this with you. I sometimes, if we have time, I do it. Sometimes if we don't have time, I don't, but I want to share it because it speaks to what Tracy just said. I recently, with one of the Sacred Depths groups, we were doing some practice coaching together, and I gave them a challenge. They got into groups of two, and the challenge was they had, you know, 15 minutes to coach, but they could only ask questions, and they could only ask one question at a time, and then wait. They could not reflect a single thing. They could not, sure, I just heard you say, or right, like it was just question. Not that we'd ever do this in a coaching session, but to Tracy's point, like to practice this, let's ask a powerful question and let it land and get the answer, and then ask the next powerful question. Good.
I want to say one thing about that. I remember when I started out as a coach, you know, my heart was so full of just wanting to serve and help and all the things. And I was not even understanding the pause, right? Like I don't think that I was mature in my being of service to even understand or articulate the leaning back for a moment and letting the pause in. So I think that's also some, it's like we can grow into that as well, you know?
Yes. No, it does. It requires not just skill, but energetics. Yeah. Rosa, I'm going to share y'all something with all of you.
Yeah, again, I'm just really moved by what people are saying. I wrote it down, Tracy, I want to quote you. There's a beauty and a wisdom in the art of the pause. I think that's what you said. I find those kinds of exercises really interesting, right? Like I was in a focusing training where for a year, and in focusing, we do a lot of reflection, but we just had to be silent. We just had to like listen in silence to the other person during their focusing turn for a year. We couldn't ask questions and we couldn't even reflect. And it was just to like witness like what the power of our presence can do. And also that people really are self-organizing human beings, and that if there's love and support, they will find their own answers, right? So it was like really like kind of slaying the ego of the helper, right? But anyway, those exercises are amazing. Yeah, that's it for now. Thank you.
Good. So along the lines of images, I wanted to share with all of you one of my practices that I've invited clients to do and groups to do. I call it a practice, but it's not really a practice. It's not meant to be done often. I do it maybe once a year, and it's a different piece of soul work and image work. And what I do is, can you all see this kind of in the camera? So I love spirals. Maybe some of you love spirals too. There's something that's just so like regulating for me and like brings me into like sourced energy when I draw spirals. I'm drawing them all the time. It just has so much power for me. So every now and again, I will draw a spiral like this and then connect in with the archetypal energy of the spiral for me and write in the spiral. And it's usually I'm channeling the energy. It's usually a channeled prayer. And I just ask the spiral, you know, what is the prayer that wants to come through me right now. And I'll read this one in a moment. One of the reasons why I love this exercise is it really, because it takes a little while to do, it creates a container of space and time where not only are you connecting in with the archetypal energy of the spiral, but you're connecting in with your soul desires. And you'll see what I mean when I read this. So sometimes, every time I do it a little differently. This time I started every sentence with "let me." It just came through this way. I start from the inside and then I write out. And there's something again to the process of writing then in the spiral as well. Let me find meaning in life. Let me have purpose and contribute. Let me be in warm community and have loving relationships. Let me feel connected to spirit, feel spirit all around me, guiding me. Let me feel connected to my soul. Let me feel alive. Let me know and experience holiness and sacredness. Let me know I am enough and my life is enough. Let me value kindness over money and positive impact over success. Let me feel contentment and satisfaction. Let me be a good mother and the right mother to each of my children. Let me know tenderness, compassion, and real love for myself and others. Let me be kind and generous and do good in the world. Let me have patience. Let me be positive. Let me find joy in everyday things. Let me lift others. Let me honor the earth and feel connected to her every day. Let me honor the mystery and be grateful for everything I have. So I don't know if you can feel energetically like the energy of it and how it's so, it can be such a moving exercise in the container of an archetypal image. But I offer this, might not be something that calls to you or not, but I just offer this to you as kind of another way of thinking about archetypal imagery and how you can use it. Thoughts, ideas, what's it bringing up for you? Mindy.
First of all, thank you for sharing that. It was beautiful. I'm curious. So you said you wrote the prayer within the spiral, right? Did you write it starting from the beginning, the small part, or did you go from the end inside?
I usually start from the inside and spiral out. It feels more like I feel that energetic expansion as I do. I think if I was in a moment where it felt important energetically to feel a hugging in, I might start from the outside and go in. But, you know, I'm often called to do these when I'm feeling like I need like an expansion and a lift me up of energy. And so I'll work it outwards. And I don't think about the words beforehand. I just kind of like go in. I don't even know what I'm going to do, but I let the energy of the image just move me.
Yeah, I was just thinking that you could really change the energy depending on which direction you wrote in.
And, absolutely.
And either one could work. It just depends on what you need.
That's right. That's right. Because sometimes we need a hugging in and other times we want an expansion out.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else that wants to be said or shared? Yeah, Tracy.
So it's interesting. From the time I was little, I have been doodling two things, spirals and 3D boxes and triangles. Never really understood. I mean, you know, you're just doodling. Like I was when we had regular phones, you know, and I would doodle. But what I really noticed now that I'm doing this sort of work is that I had this mindset when I was younger, which was conditioning from the world. You're spiraling out of control, right? Like I remember even hearing the words, but in doing this soul work, it's like I'm spiraling into the depths of my soul. And when I do that, I'm moving through a healing, which then moves into the outward spiral of the expression of my soul out into the world.
So. I love that. That's so beautiful. I love that reframe too, and that shifting, and then the energy of it. And yeah, and you can like do something like this or take on it with any kind of archetypal image that whole, I mean, and as we know, all archetypal images hold meaning, but for a particular group too, right? Like it could be a heart. It could be a cross if it was a religious Christian community, you know, like there's just so much that can be evoked. You don't have to be a good drawer. It doesn't have to have a lot of detail to it, but just from drawing these images and then being with them. Rosa.
Yeah, I had a very vivid dream about maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 days after the workshop, after the retreat. And I just want to say a little something about it as a way to honor it. Would that be okay? Is that what your plan is for now? Or
I just want to see if there's any other shares on the spiral or ideas, and then absolutely we can make space for that for sure. Did anybody want to say anything else, or what ideas this might spark for you, or how you might want to, like ideas of using it for clients? Tracy's saying in the chat, in my park, there's a labyrinth made of sand, and I'll sometimes walk through it as a way to come back to my center. Yeah, that labyrinth is it labyrinths? Plural, they do that. Like that's the same kind of archetypal image, but archetypal shape and moving through for sure. Christina.
Thank you. I do love the power of the spiral. I connect well with the spiral. Are there a few other prompts that you like to use other than let me? I love let me. I'm just saying, I'm kind of a text box to choose from kind of gal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it depends if you're going to do it with clients. I mean, when I do it for myself, I just let the spirit move me. When it's with clients, I'm thinking about I'm always thinking about intention and crafting words based on intention, right? So if there's something about desire, it might be I desire or I want, right? If I'm supporting clients to like own their wants or their desires. Mm-hmm. If it's kind of more of a like open-ended, you know, maybe like, like I said earlier, prayer with ease, it could be may I. So think about what is the intention and then create the prompt based on the intention. Yeah, good question. Kristen, did you want to add something? You have it in the chat.
Go ahead in the chat. I was just thinking that what a great way of getting at your desires, that to use the archetypal energy of the spiral as well as just the let me idea or I desire, or, you know, whatever the prompt might be. It seems like a really intriguing way, like something different than just you know, writing on the page in the normal way that you would, to be able to do it in the spiral and allow that difference in your brain, like just from a neural perspective, to like allow that circle to inspire something different.
Yes.
As you write it.
So, yes. I love it. And I love that you're bringing the vision board piece into it. And since you're bringing the vision board piece into it, just to like expand some of these ideas out, because I know a lot of us work with vision boards and they just be used for so many great ways. So a couple things to think about. Number one, you could do a spiral like this on the vision board and then turn it over and do the pasting on the vision board on the other side so that it has this in. And then on the topic of energy and images, and I'm going to say like layers of images, I have sometimes in the past led vision boarding exercises where we build up layers on the board. So it might start with something like the spiral or not. And then the next question is, how do you want to feel? Right. And then that gets to be a layer that's pasted on top of that. And then the top layer is, okay, now find images that represent what you want. And so it's this like almost becomes this magical talisman with secret layers and energetic layers inside of it that only the maker knows. So there's a lot of fun ways to play with that and the images. Great. All right, Rosa, share your dream with us a little bit.
I just want to say I love that that last piece of like the layers and layers in a collage. Wow. Well, now I'm having cold feet. So in the dream, I was standing in front of the person who is now my ex, and he had this eyeshadow on, and it was really beautiful. And I realized afterwards, I wasn't thinking this in the dream, but it's, and he doesn't wear eyeshadow in real life, but it was like blues and greens and teals and iridescent and like that. And somehow I stepped closer to him, and there was a like, oh, let me fix something or touch it up or like that. I don't know. Maybe it was like I was trying to help. And then when I stepped back, it had like totally changed colors. I was not aware of having done that at all, but now it was like blue, like purple and black, and his hair was all black. And I was like, wow. And he kind of, this is thing I said, it looks like you're a person from Yorkshire now. I don't even know what that means. And he looked in a mirror and he said something like, well, I am from Yorkshire. So I don't like that. I don't know. I have some thoughts about that piece, but the color thing was so interesting. Mm-hmm. And I've been wanting to draw it for all this time. So I just did this now. So it's kind of a little bit of a like one half of it is what it looked like before, and then the other half of it is what it looked like after. And it was so potent. And yeah. So some of the meaning that I made from it for myself was, you know, the metallic greens and dark blues, he's always said that that's his favorite color. Is metallic green and dark blue. And then, but then it's like, and like in the dream, it wasn't like I even had any color in my hands. I wasn't like going to change the, I wasn't trying to do that. I just thought, oh, here, let me help. Like that was the thought. Is, I don't know, maybe he was like getting dressed up to go to a party or whatever. And I was like, oh, here, let me touch it up. And I step back and it's like purple and black.
What's some of the meaning that, tell us briefly, like some of the meaning that you are seeing in it? Why is it potent? You said it's potent. What is feeling important about
the dream? I thought about a time when he was talking about what it brought up for me is it, I thought about a time that he was talking about, you know, why he was leaving, et cetera. And he said something about like, oh, too much trauma. And it was so interesting to me because, you know, he's done things before, like sign up for Thomas Hubel's, you know, collective trauma healing, whatever. But that, so like he's, and he does constellations things. So he's always like going into all these fields where there's a lot of trauma, and he has as much trauma in his history as I have in mine, although he may not think of it in that way, right? So it just felt like he was telling me that, and I just, that I have too much trauma, and that's why he was leaving. And, but when I looked at it in the dream, it just felt like, I just felt like, I don't know, there was something about like projection and something about like, you know, maybe being with me was causing him to see his own trauma more than he wanted to or something. I like, that's kind of like the meaning got from it. Yeah. And it really, I don't know, something in me calmed down, right?
Yeah.
After it, it was like, okay, that's because it was his, you know, and yeah, I was probably a little bit too much of a wanting to help him in the relationship or whatever. There, and maybe just being around me, he couldn't maintain his image of himself as this bright and shiny person without also looking at his trauma. So of course he's both, and you know, so I don't know. Those were
I mean, it sounds like there's so much there, and definitely like making headway. And I think it's important that you're seeing these threads and these meanings. And I would continue. So a couple things. So number one, I would continue to work with all, just in the ways that you are, like, what are their associations? What else are you seeing in this? Because so much is coming through. So that's one piece. And then as we looked at, and this is important for everybody to remember, as we looked at our retreat, every dream has multiple like layers and meanings to it. So much of what you're seeing so far, Rosa, is about, I think, like actually literally having to do with your husband because he showed up in the dream. Definitely keep on going with that. And then if you feel called, I would also invite you to get then to a different approach with a different meaning, which is around what, who inside of you is your husband, and who inside of you is the teal makeup, and who inside of you is the purple makeup, and who inside of you is the mirror, and work with those pieces in some ways that we did in the retreat as well, because I think a whole other like world is going to open up from that too. I could see just it, like the recognition.
When you said makeup, what came to me was a bit in getting at that meaning that I had left out. I was thinking eyeshadow, and I just thought, oh, my dream is a pun. It's like the eyeshadow.
Yes, right? Very good.
So there was that whole bit, and I know one of the things that has been hard for him has been like holding both. And for me, it's like, I actually love those same colors that he loves, and the teal stripe and the black and blue. It's like, it's trauma, but it's also the nobility that emerges from the dark night of the soul. You know, it's
so always- that, so that is a place also to lean into, but energetically, Rosa, right? Like that, yes, the trauma, but the nobility that emerges from the soul, like the way you just described it, channel that energy right from that energy, make more of a leaning in and a body memory of that feeling. That feels like important energy for you to be bringing to some areas of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. All right. We have 10 minutes left. There are two more things I want to toss to all of you. Speaking of naming agendas, I'm going to name this as my agenda. This might not be your agenda. So if it's not, it's fine. This is one of my agendas. I really want y'all to do more soul work for yourselves. I just I know that there's so many benefits to reap as we looked at over the 2 days in our retreat. And so if you walked out of the retreat and you're like, oh my God, I love this. I want to do more of this. I want to be working with my dreams. I want to be working with the tarot. I want to be drawing images. And then you proceeded to not really do that or not as much as you would like. This is my invitation to you to commit. To recommit. Sometimes it takes a couple times of committing, right? To actually get in the pattern, to get ready, to do it. But if this is feels important or rich to you, please make time for it. And maybe this stuff isn't your thing, but you love the befriend your fear stuff. So then commit to that or something else. But again, my agenda, this is my invitation to you I have never been able, in all the years that I've been doing this, it's hard to make time. And I've never been able to make time unless I have told myself this is important enough to me to make the time. And then I'm just going to be honest. And then I've had to sit through the discomfort of the first couple of sittings, because I'm thinking I should be answering emails or doing what all the other things, right? So there is a stretch. There is a stretch into making these practices for yourselves. If you want more of this, commit. Allow yourself to move through the discomfort, continue to tell yourself that it's important, and make some more time and space for it. Anything that wants to be said or asked about that or added?
Julia, can you give a little bit more guidance on what to do? I missed the session. I can go back and watch it, but can you just give a short capsule?
Yeah. So you took advance before, so maybe you'll remember, we looked at working with the dreams, and the kind of the quick overview is write a dream down, read it over, ask first, just what associations do I have? What are some of the meanings that I think? How is this relating to my life? And then from there, pick 3 different elements of the dream, can be a detail, can be a person, can be a color, whatever, and channel the energy of it through the writing, starting with I am. I am the sunglasses. I am the mirror. I am the eyeshadow, right? And kind of going deeper with that, or doing the same kind of thing with any kind of tarot cards or divination. Does that kind of get? Oh, I can't hear you.
Thanks for saying that. That's really helpful. And I, for the first time, I'm noticing I am actually dreaming more, but I can't remember them.
Yeah. So a couple things you can do, and I can't promise but that it'll work, but I think there is a likelihood. So number one, before you go to bed at night, just speak to your psyche and just say, I really want to remember some of my dreams. That's really my intention. This is important to me. Mm-hmm. Please let me remember my dreams. So that's number one. Number two, when you wake up in the morning, even if you can't remember 99% of the dream, but you remember one image or even just like one feeling, or you're not even sure, but it's one vague memory. Mm-hmm. Just write about that. Like, I don't remember anything else about this dream, but I remember the bed, and it was weird because the bed wasn't made, and it felt like it was my child. Right. And doing that is another signal to the psyche that you're serious about this. Mm-hmm. And you can even just work with that tiny little fragment too, or that tiny little feeling anyway, but it will be another signal that you're taking this seriously, and it's more likely more will come.
Perfect. Thank you. Great.
Good question. Kristen is asking, can you give some suggestions on how to do soul work to help with both ideal client and thought leadership? Kristen, come on and just share with me a little bit more what you mean, because I want to make sure I understand your question.
Yeah. So those are just two things that I struggle to identify. And I think I get caught up too much in the mind stuff about it. So like, if I wanted to do some guided meditations or some card pulling, or and not use the, you know, the definitions on the cards or whatever, what are some questions? What are some, I mean, besides the obvious, like, tell me more about my ideal client, like those, because those feel like I feel like I get too stuck on that because my mind has like messed with that, you know, struggled with that for so long that I can't get out of my mind and into my soul. So yeah. I guess that for both that and like my thought leadership as you define it in Curriculum Lab and things like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to just throw a whole bunch of different ideas and you can like pick the ones that feel okay. Resonant.
Yeah.
So it could be, tell me what I don't, oh, where'd you go?
Oh, I'm here, but I'm going to take notes. Oh, so I'm going to put you down.
Oh, okay. So one could be, tell me what I don't know yet about my ideal client. One can be, tell me what I already know, but I don't think is important enough. I haven't paid enough attention to. Tell me why I'm having some trouble getting more clear. And then you can also ask detailed questions, like, tell me about my ideal client's greatest desires. Tell me about my ideal client's greatest fears.
That's helpful.
Okay, good. Yeah. And let us know how it goes. And then if you need more from there.
Okay. And I'm also going to say that probably similar to Carlita, this is something that I already know the answer to and that I just am not satisfied with.
That's why I threw the question of there is, tell me what I already know that I'm not paying enough attention to or taking seriously enough, because I have that sense too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, in our last 2 minutes left, I'm just going to like quick toss this, and we can always talk about it more at another time, but I think some of you will just like, if it resonates, you'll take it and run with it. The channeling of the archetypal voices can be very useful in our marketing. I may have mentioned this at our retreat, but I just like want to remind you. So some of the like things that I'll channel in my journaling, I'm like, ooh, this is what my ideal client really needs to hear as well. Like they're wanting, right? And I'll share, if not all the words I've written from the channel with the energy, like pieces of it. It will make its way into my social media posts. It will make its way into my sales pages or fragments of it. There's so much truth that comes through. And if it's truth for us, our clients are a version of us, it's going to be truth. You know, obviously, like we said before, everybody has their own meaning, et cetera, but there are going to be truths that come through for our clients as well. So I pull from it sometimes into marketing as well. Not your group, but another group recently we were doing in our shadow work. And you'll see when we get to our shadow retreat, when we're in person, we were doing and channeling from the shadow, and she literally downloaded her whole homepage. It was like not even a letter, but like a speaking to directly to her ideal client from this shadow that she, that this person in the retreat reclaimed. That is such a big piece that her ideal clients need to reclaim as well. So I'm just tossing that as like, be on the lookout as you do the work for what's also potent in your marketing. All right. I am just so happy that we had this time together today. I hope it was useful. And I know I'll see some of you at Curriculum Lab later on. Either way, looking forward to seeing you really soon. And I'm wishing you a really beautiful week. Talk to you soon.